Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Game Informer Show. I'm Ben Hansen, joined by Suriel Vasquez.
Hello.
All month long, we've been rolling out coverage on Mortal Kombat 11, and it's coming out very, very soon.
Next week, some would say.
So you would think that every question has been answered about this game.
I would imagine. I hope so.
Apparently, that's not the case.
No.
We had a post on GameInformer.com and also Game Informer's YouTube channel asking the community, like, hey, what else do you want to know? And now we're Skyping in senior systems designer Derek Kurtzik to answer as many of those questions as he can. So he answers questions about, like, NPCs in the game, Mortal Kombat 9 outfits, like stage transitions, tag teams, stuff like that. We cover
Easter
a lot
eggs.
Of ground. Yeah, yeah. Derek's a very smart guy, and he's been there for a long time, so there's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
If you're watching the video version of this, there's always the audio version. We understand it's a long interview, so if you want to listen to it while walking around the house, punching in the air, running outside, getting ready for Mortal Kombat.
Uppercutting someone on the street.
Yeah, exactly, with your earbuds in.
Yep.
You can always subscribe to the audio version of the Game Informer Show. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your audio. Also, Spotify and stuff, SoundCloud.
Finally.
Check it out. Also, this is a special edition of the podcast. We should point out that every Thursday we have the standard issue Game Informer Show, which pulls like the best things available for the Game Informer magazine. So it's like a lot of developer interviews. We have impressions from our cover story, often very exclusive impressions of exciting games on the horizon.
Fun segments,
community emails every week, games.
Yeah, we talk about those.
A lot of game trivia. Anyways, that's it. But without further ado, here is Derek Kurtzik. Derek Kurtzik, welcome to the Game Informer Show, sir.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. It's always an honor to have developers Skype in, and it's so exciting, especially this time around, where the game's coming out, next week? And
yeah,
we're talking to you?
Next Tuesday.
Yeah. What is it, 5 days?
It's insane. So what's your life like now, 5 days away from the launch?
Currently, just continuing to, like, clean up stuff at work, right? Anything that we're seeing that's still kind of popping up. We're playing the game at work, which is great. Because at this time we actually get to sit, hang out, play matches against each other, start to figure out who our characters are that we're playing as. Of course, mine's Jade, but you know, it's just fun to actually just get matches in now.
Yeah. That's gotta be confusing. I think a lot of people would have assumed like, oh, you must've been playing it nonstop for the last at least year, right?
No, man. When you're making a game, you're not getting time to play the game that much, right?
So now you're at the point.
Of course, we have like QA and stuff like that. QA, you know, they spend more time finding bugs, testing the game. But as a designer, it's like one of my main things is Towers of Time. And so, like, when I'm playing Towers of Time and seeing if these modifiers are working and consumables feel good and stuff like that.
Are you taking notes for like, okay, maybe day one patch, maybe day two patch, day three patch, that type of thing?
It's always, that could be toned down maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Is that every time you lose a match?
I'm sorry?
And is that anytime you lose a match, you're like, well, we got to fix that.
Oh, yeah.
You got to keep off in Jade.
Tank that difficulty, for sure. If I can't do it, I can't expect the world to do it.
So the crazy thing, and I'm sure every backseat game designer is like, well, why not just schedule the game so that you finish like 3 months before now, so you can just spend 3 months playing the game in the studio and then launch it? Like, is it just, it'll never work out that way timeline-wise?
It's just a matter of, we're all perfectionists, that if we have 5 more minutes, we will spend that 5 more minutes doing this, doing that, just tweaking anything we possibly can. Even once the game is out, we're still going to be playing the game and going, ooh, we could change that. Ooh, let's change that a little bit. Yeah.
Are you planning on supporting Mortal Kombat 11 for a longer period of time than previous Mortal Kombats?
We're definitely going to support Mortal Kombat 11 for probably the longest of any NRS title we've had. And we have a lot of really cool, exciting things coming up. And of course, the Combat League, I'm super excited for.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you guys launched that crazy launch trailer. Congratulations on that.
Thank
Do you,
you
have any insight into using the Mortal Kombat movie theme for that thing? Is that just a completely separate marketing department, or does that come from the designers on the ground floor there?
That's absolutely the marketing department, you know? And it's like all the previous trailers leading up to it, people are like, why don't they just use the Mortal Kombat theme? Why don't they just use the Mortal Kombat things? Because we were waiting for the end, right? I mean, it hits it perfectly, right?
Yeah.
It's such a like clever remix in that it sounds like what you think of as modern trailer music, but it is more than familiar to people who have heard that theme before, and it's a really well done trailer for sure.
It's fun, I love it. Yeah, it's fun to see you guys like kind of embracing, and I know it's largely the marketing, but just kind of embracing the past more so, and like embracing the movie in a bigger way than it seems like you guys have done in the past. Has that been a discussion amongst the designers of like, F it, let's just lean into that thing?
I think just using anything we have of Mortal Kombat, we're going to lean into. You're going to see some cool stuff in the crypt too, that you're going to be like, I know where they got that, right? Like there's a lot of, I think we were talking about it before, just nostalgia things inside of Mortal Kombat 11 that the fans are just going to fall in love with and be like, oh, they did. Yes, they did. I can't wait for you guys to see some of the secrets in the crypt. It's very cool.
That's awesome. We're definitely going to get to the crypt. Okay, starting with community questions. First one is first couple maybe are very nice. So get ready for these. LJS Ice wants to know, hey, what's the most stressful and what's the most fun part of making a new Mortal Kombat game for you?
The stressful part is seeing the pencils down date get closer and closer and closer. That's probably the most stressful, right? The most enjoyable part is the reactions. Just people playing the game, watching people on Twitch play the game, just seeing other people's experiences. That's really the most enjoyable part. Like reaction videos, again, you know, like I love watching reaction videos and people's how they are experiencing Mortal Kombat 11.
So like the second that launch trailer goes out there, for example, you're just searching Mortal Kombat launch trailer reaction videos, and then that's just the entire YouTube algorithm at this point?
I have like a cycle that I go through. There's some guys in the UK, Cyber Nerds. I'm a huge fan of them. They're three guys on a couch. They're great and hilarious. Run that back is what they always say. Of course, Maximilian is great. Uncaged Games, you know, like we got a handful that we run through and watch.
Okay. I watched one reaction video to our rapid fire interview with Ed Boon.
Yeah.
I think I sent that your way, right?
It's weird seeing like reaction videos to our content for sure.
Yeah. Cause it's just like this blank stare through hundreds of questions. It's like, okay, he didn't find that funny. Got it. Okay, that's fine.
I love the rapid questions with Ed. I thought that was hilarious. It was so good.
Thank you. You should have filmed a reaction video. I really could have used it, man.
We need more reaction videos to everything.
All right, guys, I'll see what I can do. I'll make a reaction video to this video.
Oh, okay, great. That's a really fun idea.
I'll make a reaction to your video.
Okay. Max Lindsay writes in and says, hey, how do you choose which feedback to listen to and what to ignore when you're designing a Mortal Kombat game? Like when someone says they want a certain character in or what game mechanics to keep or change. So I know we're going backwards in time a little bit, but just starting this project, what's good feedback versus bad feedback for you guys?
We always listen to the characters people want in the game. Generally, Ed does some sort of Twitter polls and things like that because we have the cast that explains the story. And then anybody else in additional, we really take and listen to what people have been asking for. We're all about that feedback. And then when it comes to, say, like gameplay tweaks and things like that, if there's somebody that thinks like Sub-Zero's ice clone isn't working or something like that, we'll go to QA, we'll check out any of their concerns to make sure that if they are or are not valid. And if they are a valid concern gameplay-wise, we always address it. If it's not through a next patch, it's through tweak vars, but we definitely do address that. When it comes to the core gameplay itself, that's up to more of the lead designers, John, Paulo, and Ed, of how they want this game to feel. So the players don't really dictate that in any way whatsoever. Mortal Kombat 11 has a different feel than any other Mortal Kombat, and we wanted it to be that way.
Yeah. So if you are in the community and you really want your voice heard, where do you go? Should people be tweeting at you and saying, hey, where the f*** is Melina? Or like, where do they shout that at?
So basically wherever they're shouting, we're already seeing it. Because either they're adding us on Twitter, so we see that. We also check pretty much all the websites, right? If it's Test Your Might, if it's Game Facts, if it's whatever, we're on like every single site seeing what people are seeing or seeing what people are experiencing, what they're saying, what they're wanting. And people are very vocal and we see it and hear it.
Are there any particular outlets that you weigh differently? You know, the random person on Twitter versus, hey, here's this long form post on Reddit or here's a YouTuber reaction. Do you weigh those things differently?
I feel like we weigh them almost all the same. There are some people that have, that'll add us on Twitter that have maybe like 5 followers, but if they have a valid point, we'll bring it up. We'll address it. We listen to as many people as we possibly can. Absolutely.
How long?
We're not going to say that guy has no followers. Irrelevant. You know, we're not going to do that at all. Absolutely. Very some good, people yeah. probably just create accounts just to try and explain what their experience is or what they experienced.
Yeah. How long have you been in NetherRealm?
I've been with the team since 2007. The first game I worked on was Stranglehold.
Holy wow. cow. You look like a young man. This is confusing to hear about.
I'm going on 40.
No.
Impossible. It can't be.
Good it's God. True. It's Dr. Pepper. It's what keeps me young.
It seems like there's something about that team where it's a lot of old timers down there. Do you think it's like just the remote location where it's like, all right, if you're in Chicago, you're probably going to want to stick around in NetherRealm?
I think we all love what we do, man. And we make Mortal Kombat, right? Like, I couldn't see me doing anything else. Like, this is the game I grew up as or grew up playing as a child. And I'm literally living my dream.
And you're not sick of it.
No, you can't get sick of ripping heads off, man. Like, well, there's so many ways to do it, obviously. Yeah.
But can you get sick about people on Twitter screaming at you, where the f*** is Rain?
No, that actually okay. also makes me younger.
It's oh, weird. Wow.
You're fueled off that. Okay, gotcha. I think that rapid fire accident, I think about it. Didn't Ed Boon give you a shout out as being the guy who came up with calling back to 1989 Batman with the Injustice 2 finisher for Batman?
Yeah, that was me, yes. Yep. I do. I get to help come up with a lot of those ideas for Fatal Blows, Fatalities, Injustice 2 super moves. And yes, I was in the movie theater during the movie when that happened, and I was like, "That's the coolest thing."
Absolutely.
Look at this.
I'm gonna put
X
it in my game.
Now.
Right. How do you guys, when you guys are making those sorts of things, how much do you, when you guys think about the roster? Do you start from the point of, hey, we're going to make a roster with this many characters, here's our limit, and then who do we pick, and how much of it is just, you know, you start making characters, and then you start realizing, okay, this is our cutoff, this is where we've reached, you know, the point where we can stop.
And that was Dude Man asking that question, sorry. Yeah.
Again, it's the story we want to tell is the main focus point of a lot of the characters. And of course, I don't think we could make a Mortal Kombat without Scorpion. Although, like, chat or whoever would be like, well, you did that in Mortal Kombat 3. Okay, yeah. So, either way, like, there's core characters that have to be there. And then it's also the amount of time that we have to make these games. And also is kind of directly connected to the amount of characters. It takes almost, from start to finish, probably in design side alone, about 6 weeks to make a character. And if you multiply that times 25, it's quite a while. It's basically people that are dedicated to making characters from the beginning of the project to the end of the project.
And are you working on characters one at a time, or is it a thing where you're working on, you know, there are multiple timelines going on at once with, you know, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and whatever other characters you choose?
It's all very based on disciplines. So if we, like, for an example, Shang Tsung, right? Like, we'll shoot Shang Tsung, we'll do the mocap for him and whatnot. And so then that goes on to the animators to start animating the animations, bringing them back and whatnot. And while that's happening, we might be working on something else, waiting for those things to come into us. So there's always multiple things going on at one time. But for the most part, it's at the pace that we can work at.
And so at a certain point then, it's like, okay, maybe tech has changed, so at a certain point then you realize, it looks like we're probably going to hit around 25. Let's try and cut it off there. Is that the yeah. hard line in the sand? You need to declare it at some point, otherwise people just keep scrambling and the game will never get done?
At some point we have to say, hey, this is the amount of characters we're going to put in the game. I think it varies maybe one or two characters every game.
Oh, interesting.
Because we know what we know our timeline.
Right, right.
And Sayokden asks, what is the process of making a new character like Cetrion? Is the process different when you're, you know, making characters who haven't been in the series before?
Absolutely. So characters that have been in the series before, they have a reference, a starting or a jumping point, right? So like Jade, Scorpion, Sub-Zero. You can look back at what they've done in the past, and obviously people will expect some of that stuff to be returning. Like Scorpion without a spear would be ridiculous. So we always have some sort of moves we can integrate into the newer versions of them. When it comes to like Terminus or Garrus or Cetrion, they're clean new palettes, right? So anything's possible, and story actually helps us out a lot too, of how they're being used in story helps us design how they're going to play in the game.
Can we focus on Cetrion a little bit? I don't know how much insight you have into this process, but like she's been teased a little bit in previous entries, right?
I don't really know. I don't think so.
Okay.
And if so, do explain.
I thought, wasn't there something about, was it Jade's ending?
There were people speculating that one of the new characters was a character in Jade's ending from MK9, but I wonder how much of that is like retrospective or like, hey, we just happen to have this part of the lore that we can pull from.
Yeah. I can't even tell you if I remember Jade's MK9 ending.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
If you give me a second, I'll pull it up and I'll be like, yeah, no, yeah, you're right. You're right, it is. So I'm not sure.
So you don't remember any of those conversations for Cetrion of like, okay, I guess we've seen a shadowy figure of the Elder God and she kind of looked like this, or was it 100% clean slate from what you remember?
So that's more handled by the story guys.
Sure.
Dominic Chianatiolo and Sean Kittleson. And then from there, we take it on. We'll take what they've kind of written and the arc they've created for that character, and then we'll build the design version of that character, how they'll fight, what elemental powers she would have, things like that.
Gotcha.
Dane Joyce writes in and says, so in the latest trailer, you showed the stunning Cyrax and Sector. So would that mean that there will be NPCs in the story like Baraka and MKX?
I don't know if I want to spoil that, because that's kind of like a story thing, right?
Okay.
What about this? There were a lot of people bringing up this point that some people said it was Ed Boon, some people said it was somebody at the studio said, and this is actually Danko Doodle Doo's question mm-hmm. here, saying that somebody at the studio said at some point that there technically would not be any NPCs in MK11's story. Is that misinformation, or do you still think that's true?
I would say that's probably misinformation, because as you see, there are some NPCs in the trailer.
Okay. Gotcha. And that includes Cyrax and Sector.
We'll go with that.
Okay.
All right.
Team Red Rocket wants to know, is Raiden's lightning color customizable?
It changes based on the skin that you have. So if you have like a dark skin or dark Raiden skin on, then you'll have the red lightning bolts. If you have like the more traditional Raiden, he'll have the blue lightning bolts.
Is it just red and blue, or is it, hey, I've got purple lightning or I've got green lightning? How many colors are there?
We're not going that crazy with Raiden.
Okay.
Now. Okay.
All right. Speaking of Raiden, Final Prime HD wants to know, why was Raiden's, and here's his spelling of it, Wakadota charge sound effect taken out of the game?
Wakadota? Is that the official onomatopoeia?
Yeah, I believe that's the correct way to pronounce it. And okay. Whatever they put is the correct spelling. So we change that from time to time, too. Like the get over here isn't the same from game to game. So, yeah, we always change things each game.
Is it taken out, or does Raiden just say it differently? This is the torpedo attack, right? Is that what
right,
we're talking
yeah,
about?
The, okay. Yeah, it's just different, I believe, in this game.
How do you guys record those sounds? Because it always sounds like, to me, it sounds like, you know, just gibberish or no, like Simlish in a way. But how do you guys go about recording those kinds of, like, almost, are they actual words, or are they supposed to be garbled in that way?
So I don't want to ruin the magic of it.
Okay.
But back in the day, there were times where they're like, I'm going to throw you over here. I'm going to throw you over here. There was just things said so fast and mumbled together, but they were actual things.
Okay.
And you know, with a torpedo sound in particular, what that originated as?
I don't want to spoil that. I don't want to spoil
that.
Oh,
okay. My God. I'm coming over there!
It's a big part of the story.
Yeah.
George Rodriguez wants to know, Liu Kang has been my all-time fave and main since the MK1 days. I've been curious to know if Kenshiro from Fist of the North Star, another Bruce Lee-inspired character, had some influence on Liu's one-inch punch fatality.
I feel as if the one-inch punch fatality is something that's existed probably since, you know, Bruce Lee, really, you know. So it's been interpreted so many different ways in media since Bruce Lee that I, you know, I, if anything, I would say probably lean towards Bruce Lee.
Okay. Right.
Tim O'Shea wants to know, are the four extra spots on your roster on the website unlockable characters? Because if you look at the website, there's more spots than there are characters in the game. Mm-hmm. Is that just like a weird website thing, or is that teasing at something more?
That's a weird website thing.
Okay, so there's nothing we should read from seeing that on the website.
Okay. No.
Derek wants to know, will there be
any... Oh, I want to know!
Oh.
You'll love this question.
This one's Derek with two R's, sorry. Will there be any unlockable characters in the crypt?
So, I don't want to ruin it for people, but there are no unlockable characters in the crypt. There's a lot of cool, like I said, nostalgic things in the crypt that MK fans are going to be like, oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. But I didn't want to be the person to swipe that. But yeah, that's the truth. There you go. Moving on.
All right. Speaking of characters, MK Potter wants to know, when will the Combat Pack DLC fighters be revealed? What are your rollout plans for that kind of stuff?
That's a marketing thing. We are currently working on the DLC characters. So we're still, you know, that's in production currently. Whenever we feel as if as a studio that, hey, we're ready to show off what we have, we will. But there currently isn't a specific date and or timeline for that.
Okay. And Rob G. Donaldson real quick wants to know, is that the combat pack and DLC, that's coming to Switch, right? Is that day and date or is that different at all?
I would imagine so, yes. But we don't really work with the Switch is ported outside of the studio. So I don't really know much of what's going on with the Switch, to tell you the truth. I played it, and it's fun, and it's perfect Mortal Kombat on the go, for sure, right? And if you're a Switch fan, you're going to love it. I love taking the Switch whenever I travel. So now I'll just basically be taking work with me wherever I go now.
Yeah, I do want to play that Switch version just because having portable training mode is really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
So Saga BKS Folkearth wants to know, there have been tons of people asking for some MK9 style outfits for the female characters. How crazy are you guys planning to go post-release with some of that stuff?
We have some really cool costumes coming up for Mortal Kombat 11. And a lot of them are throwbacks. So we'll see what we have coming out. Yeah, quit trying to spoil stuff, internet.
Hey, this is what people want to know.
Yeah, they want spoilers.
This is what they want to know.
Whittled down version of it. I think like the core of that sentiment you must see all the time about like, why are there so many clothes on these female characters? And imagine like from MK9 to 10 to 11, you guys have been, one approach would be taking a classier route. Do you see like with the time travel aspect now, it's like, okay, so if we're pulling from the past, inherently then we're kind of going to go back to some older designs for these female characters.
Well, with Mortal Kombat 11, as you see, like the game and the characters just look gorgeous. They look realistic. And I think Brendan brought it up a couple times in a few interviews that like their gear is just, it's more tailored and realistic. The straps actually go around the arms and things like that. It's more tailored gear to the character itself. And it's for both male and female characters, right? And the Mortal Kombat 11, the game just looks gorgeous. So we'll see what we have in store coming in the future, though. We got some cool stuff. Okay. There's one that, man, people have been asking for that I'm really excited for.
A female character in particular?
I'm not. Stop it.
Okay. All right. Jesus. All right.
Personally, I would want the original MK1 Scorpion, where it just looks like he's wearing like a huge like triangular kind of weird thing on top of him.
Look at Derek's face. Okay. Wait for it.
All right.
Okay. Whoa.
Post reaction videos of that.
He seems to be crying. Matt Hamilton writes in and says, "Hey, I'd like to know if the story mode will be broken up into sections or chapters like Mortal Kombat 9 and 10. Will it be like 3 or 4 fights with one character and then the next one and so on and so on?"
I guess it follows a similar formula. I believe there are 12 chapters in Mortal Kombat 11, and you go through different characters as we've done before.
Sweet. Very helpful. Okay, I can't pronounce this name. I'm sorry. I believe it's in another language. You're saying, hey, since we're dealing with time travel, how much will Mortal Kombat 9 influence the story, or will we see more pre-Mortal Kombat 9 era with the past characters?
Ooh, there are definitely references to Mortal Kombat 9 and the outcomes of some characters in Mortal Kombat 9 in Mortal Kombat 11.
Tell me if this is a dumb question, either of you. But is the idea only that you're pulling from the reboot, or with Chronica, is she pulling from all different versions of every Mortal Kombat story ever?
It's going primarily through the reboot.
Primarily, but not fully.
Yeah. I want to leave that little window open just in case there's something I missed. But I'm going to go reboot.
Okay. And you have finished the story mode at this point, right?
No.
Are you serious?
I swear. Yeah, I live to make the game, you know? Like,
what are we talking to you for? What is it? No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I generally wait till the story mode's complete, and then I sit and I put it on my surround sound on my big TV at home, yeah. And I'm just, yes, versus sitting at my desk at work going, oh, I got to get back to work.
So right. even like, you as a developer, you're also avoiding spoilers online right now, I'm guessing.
Dude, you don't even know. And the, never mind.
Is it weird? Would it be weird to be spoiled on your own game?
People will, like, tweet me images of the game, and I'm just like, cool, thanks, you know, like.
Oh, that sucks. Let's see, Lawrence Austin Rogers II, he says, hey, why are Sub-Zero's eyes normal again? Mortal Kombat X, after obtaining the Dragon Medallion, his powers increased and his eyes turned white and even were glowing in Injustice 2, so why are they normal again?
Corrective contact lenses.
Oh, great. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay.
So moving on to some of the, you know, gameplay stuff, real simple question here from Gene Mazzo. How do I get really good at the game?
Oh, great question. Go to the learn area of the game. One of the designers, Michael Belpani, really took on a task of trying to explain the game to the casual player even more in depth, explaining things like frame data, punishes, counters, things like that, and making really solid tutorials for new characters, onboarding them into fighting games in general, especially Mortal Kombat. And the tutorial and training is outstanding, and that's absolutely where I would start. And then from there is I would go and I would battle against AI and just increase the difficulty time and time and time again. So generally start it easy. See if you can start getting some of the combos and things that you've been practicing, and then build the difficulty of the AI you're fighting against. And eventually you'll make it to very hard AI and you'll feel more confident in your skill as a fighting game player.
Cool. And Devin wants to know, why are the combos and strings minimized compared to MKX?
I just don't know if they're necessarily maximizing their combo potential. And also with the day one patch and things like that, there's things and adjustments that you haven't even seen in the game. For an example, Jade had a forward 1-2 combo string, and before it wouldn't pop up. Now it actually does pop up, which then allows you to extend that combo. And then also with things like crushing blows, integrating those into your combos also can either increase the damage and or increase your combo length.
Is this a common sentiment that the community thinks that combos in general have been minimized?
I think it's just a matter of they haven't seen the full potential of the game. Like they've gotten tastes of videos here and there throughout our development process, right? But until really the game is in the box and you have it at home, you don't have a true sense of how it's going to feel, what the combo potential is going to be. I just watched somebody do some crazy nasty corner combo that I was like, man, that's swaggy. I think that there's stuff that people just haven't seen yet or have had the ability to explore. And also it's a character basis, right? Like some characters are more combo heavy than other characters.
Okay. And you mentioned difficulty a little bit earlier when in the getting good question. Chip Kimball has a quick one about how difficulty is scaled. How are the computer opponents hamstrung and how are they designed to be difficult? I remember the Brainiac fight in Injustice being a nightmare.
Difficulty skewed in a few different ways. You have difficulty as in how difficult the AI actually is. What's skill level the AI is. And then you also have difficulty as in the scenario that we're placing you in. with different modifiers that are being triggered and different events that are being triggered throughout the fight. Generally, what we do is we create scenarios or events that we know the player can get through. And we, with also adding like things like consumables and things like that inside the game, then you can lean on those and have those give you the advantage in many, many, many of the fights. And you'll start to actually lean towards specific combinations that you like, and that will assist you throughout all fights.
Okay. Is that something where you guys are spending, how much time are you guys spending on tuning that kind of stuff to say, hey, you know, how often do you want them to do things like input read, things like that? Like, what are their like different reaction times for the computers? Like, do you feel like it's hard work to make sure that it feels like you're fighting a human opponent?
Fighting a human opponent is always going to be. What do you guys got going on over there? I saw you point and smile. What's going on over there?
I said your hat looked cute, Derek. Just let me write secret notes already.
Oh. You're never going to get, at least we're currently, getting the AI to play exactly like a human, right? Humans make mistakes. They have input errors, right? Like they drop combos. AI, on the other hand, it's not going to do that. They're flawless, right? You make a mistake, AI is going to punish you as much as it possibly can. So it's really hard to simulate the human experience. But what we do is we do try to put some of those things in, or we have the AI learn some things if you're trying to exploit it. So if like you're doing like a specific combo or attack that the AI just keeps getting hit by, it'll actually kind of recognize that and it'll be like, ha, this is a spammer. This is what I need to do to get away from it. And it'll actually change its personality at times.
Okay. That's, I actually never knew about new stuff like that about AI. So Jared Kane Corbett wants to know, since the custom variation system is restricted in competitive play, doesn't that put players who utilize the custom stuff at a disadvantage, basically?
Well, we have the player matches. Player matches online are exactly, you can use whatever you want, whatever character variations you want to create and whatnot. You can do that inside of the player matches.
Okay, and is the intent there that it eventually, like, when you... that most players will make the transition to, hey, I'm messing around with different variations and things like that to say, okay, well, these are the ones that we have pre-selected for rank play, and so I'll just begin sort of incorporating those and phasing out the stuff that isn't included in those presets?
I think the main thing we want to do is, if players are really into their custom variations, to obviously, you know, play in that environment that allows you to use it, which is the player matches. And we've said before that we are going to continue to add additional variations for characters as the game progresses. And we're also looking into allowing custom variations.
Is that just a lot of balancing stuff where you'd have to figure out how difficult that would make your jobs at that point?
Well, it's definitely leans towards the balance of it, right? The different possible combinations of these special moves all together and whatnot. It's definitely difficult. It's not impossible. It's just when we create this environment, it's got to be a balanced professional fighting game environment. And this, at its current state, is how we feel it is the best. And we will continue to develop it, of course, and support it.
Okay. Josh wants to know, and Tom Guy has a similar question, will stage fatalities or transitions make a return? Why, if they're not, why the change?
Mm-hmm. He's thinking. All right, let's start with the first one. Stage fatalities. Are they in there?
Okay. He's stroking his chin, listener.
He's sucking on his finger. It's weird.
We'll revisit that one later. Moving on.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
The Laser Bird wants to know, what is your favorite stage?
My favorite stage? I want to say, ooh, I'm going to, I like that one too. I'm going to go with the tournament stage.
Really?
With the tournament stage. Because I love the classic arcade games in the back. I love like the big screens with the characters on it. Like, it's cool. I'm gonna put that as my top stage right now.
Okay. When we saw it for the cover story, it had a banner for CEO. How often do you guys expect to update that stuff in the background?
All right, there's a question for you. Hey, you know what'd be sweet is a stage fatality where Liu Kang could use the arcade cabinet in the background. That's true. All right, Derek is he's actually wheeling he's his to lose chair his mind. Away from that. All right. Anyways, let's see. So Danka Doodle Doo, cool guy, he says, do you need to be connected to the internet to access Towers of Time, Crypt, and to unlock gear?
Yes. We have to validate. We have to validate that you actually have it unlocked. It's all part of making sure that you're not trying to hack into things, that you're not trying to give your stuff rewards that you don't have. Yes, it's all about making sure it's valid, that you actually have it, correct.
And that includes the Switch version then?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay.
Again, like we talked, not a lot of hands on the Switch.
So that's not 100%, but you would imagine.
But I would assume, yes, absolutely, because everything has to be validated. We have to make sure that you actually have everything unlocked that you say you have unlocked. Otherwise, we have to be like, no.
So if you're like playing on an airplane, Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch, then it'd be like, okay, you can do training mode, you can do towers and stuff like that. Just nothing that can unlock big things like that.
Correct. Okay. If you were to unlock, like, say, in story mode, if you were to unlock stuff through progressing through story mode, what it would do then is once you connect to the internet, it would validate the fact that you had this correctly unlocked, and then you could go into your notifications, and then you can collect what you had unlocked.
Okay. Interesting.
But yes, we intentionally make sure that there are modes because of the validation process.
Okay, so it's not a thing where if you're on a plane and you do a bunch of towers, you're not losing progress. You still gain that progress and as long as you connect to the internet at some point.
The only thing is classic towers would you be able to do offline.
Okay.
And those rewards, there's only a specific set of rewards that you could receive through doing classic towers offline.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yep.
HVL is wondering, hey, the Crypt gameplay, will it look like Shaolin Monks?
Huh?
He's wondering, like, I think because the way it was described is like, oh, it's a little bit more of like an adventure. You're like third person camera. So he's like, oh, Shaolin Monks.
Not so much Shaolin Monks. Okay. No. So you're not doing cool aerial combos and things like that. There's only one person in the Crypt, and it is definitely a really cool third person exploration. Like, I'm very, very excited for people to start to explore the Crypt, man. It's got a lot of cool stuff.
It looks awesome. Is it fun for the team just to branch out and try that and basically within Mortal Kombat 11 kind of make like a little third-person adventure game in there?
Oh, yeah. No, it is absolutely a lot of fun for us to do. And a lot of fun for us to be like, ooh, let's hide this over here. Oh, let's do this.
A lot of giggling. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun.
He's wondering if he'll be able to create a character for Crypt.
No.
And can you use any character?
No.
Okay. How many characters?
You can only use the descendant of a pet. That's it.
Interesting. Okay. Scott Shepard says, hey, what happened or what needs to happen to bring back a true tag team mode? Many fans seem to keep asking for it as it was very popular in MK11 for couch co-op. What do you think about that?
I'm a huge fan of tag team. I love tag team. And for us to fully bring it back, there's some like actual changes we have to make within the game. There'd be some things that would have to be sacrificed and or changed, because like these environments that you're in are very expensive. The characters, for them to look as gorgeous and realistic and have all the intricate things that they have on their gear and whatnot, it's expensive inside of a game. And so we would have to change some stuff or make some custom things for tag to work. Again, like we had talked about before, you have some tag aspects through like boss fights where you can be there, I can be here, and we can play in a boss fight and I can be tagging back and forth with you, right? And so we're always exploring the possibilities.
Okay. So it's not ruled out even for down the road with Mortal Kombat 11?
You never know what's down the road for Mortal Kombat 11. Right. I mean, I have a little bit of idea.
Game Informed, which I think that means that's us.
Spiritually, yes.
Yeah. They want to know, did the team learn anything from the PC launch of MKX, which had a bit of a rocky start? Did they take any steps to ensure that there would be a smooth launch on PC this time around?
So, in design, I'm not... PC is outside of our studios as well. I can definitely say that we try and learn from every single instance or every experience that we have when creating a game. And I would naturally assume and hope that we've learned from our previous experience, and we're going to try and improve that. We want to make sure that the players have an amazing experience with our game on every single platform. We don't want to make a headache for anybody. So I can definitely say that anything that had happened before, I'm sure we has been brought to our attention. We have, are doing our best to address it and fix it.
Do you know if it's Iron Galaxy doing the PC port?
I don't believe it is. No.
Okay. And did they do 10?
The PC port of 10?
Yeah.
I thought it was. That, was that I don't think they did.
Okay. No. I forget exactly how it works. It's still crazy that you guys are technically using the same engine as Mortal Kombat 10. It's still Unreal 3, right?
Yes, absolutely. John Greenberg, he makes sure to push that every single time because we've changed it so much that calling it even Unreal 3 at this point isn't even really true and completely accurate. It's basically our own mutated Mortal Kombat Unreal Engine. Yeah, like it, the changes the Core Tech has done to it is completely different.
And so at that point, it's like it's not even worth upgrading to Unreal 4. Maybe this generation at least.
I can only assume the things that we're currently obviously doing in game, some of that stuff may not even be available or doable in Unreal 4.
Right, right. It's a crazy thing. Ghost Rider wants to know, hey, is Toasty going to be in the game?
Another tin stroke for the for the audio listener.
Somewhere.
Okay. Check the crypt, Toasty! Everybody. let's see. Follow-up question. Tommy Guy says, hey, are there going to be stage transitions in Mortal Kombat 11?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Going back to that one. I'm glad we went back to that one then. Okay. All right. What's the reason for getting away from stage transitions?
Mortal Kombat stage transitions, like, last one was what, I guess, 3?
Right.
So we've been away from it for some time now.
He misses it a lot.
Some of the 3-era games, I remember having them, like, Deception, I played recently and had some of those, like, hey, you can knock this guy off a tower and he falls off to the next floor.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But no, we don't have that. No.
Okay. Is it more complicated technically than we would think? Is there any design reason why you don't have those anymore?
I just don't think it really fits, like, the flow of this game is basically it. And kind of like the flow of the previous games. I don't know if they would necessarily really fit. That kind of breaks up the moment-to-moment battling, right? If you take a break from the fight to go and have them go through a wall, fall down 10 stories, or whatever it is, right? It's breaking up the actual moment-to-moment fighting.
Yeah. Skullking 266, broad question for you here. What are the biggest lessons you learned after shipping games? So say, let's just take MK11, for example. Like, what are you going to be doing? Are you just studying analytics? Are you looking at win-loss ratios? Like, what do you learn?
So we learn what time most people, what people spend most of their time in, what completion rates people have of specific things, and basically overall time the players in the game, right? Like, did an average player spend 8, 12, 14 hours? Is that increased from our previous games? Where generally are there groups broken up that people primarily stay over here in single player or they stay over here in multiplayer? Is there a lot of crossing in between those modes? So, and that's basically a lot of the stats and information that we collect or, you know, that we like to look at and kind of analyze of how can we maybe keep them playing a little bit longer.
Yeah, you're like the collector of data, I think is how that works. Aaron Smiledog says, hey, is Mortal Kombat 11 the last Mortal Kombat game?
Of 2019.
Hey, all right. You did it, man. Congratulations. You made it through the gauntlet. Anything else you want to say? Anything you want to clear up? Anything you see a lot on the internet that frustrates you? Because you say, God, they just got this part wrong.
The only thing that I'm really seeing on the internet is that people are super hype and excited for Mortal Kombat 11. They love the new trailer. And if you love that trailer, just wait till you get your hands on the game. It's going to be awesome experience for everybody that gets to play it. Thank you for supporting NetherRealm and our games. We couldn't do it without the fans, as passionate as they are at times. And we look forward to watching you guys on Twitch playing it. And maybe we'll get some matches in too.
Ooh, that sounds good. Well, I hope you enjoy playing the game too. I hope you enjoy playing through that story mode, man.
I gotta finish it before I see it somewhere else.
Cool. Thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, yeah. Cool. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Hey, and that's it. Thanks, everybody that submitted a question. I'm sorry if we didn't get to absolutely all of them, but thank you so much, everybody that submitted a question on GameInformer.com or our YouTube channel or even responded on Twitter. We really appreciate it. And that's it for our overall Mortal Kombat coverage.
Yeah.
Good job, Surreal.
You did it.
We really pumped out a lot. Well done. And our thanks to NetherRealm and everybody there for spending time with us, sharing some info Game about the game. Absolutely. We'll be reviewing Mortal Kombat 11 on GameInformer.com next week. It's coming up very, very soon. And so check out also the next edition of the normal Game Informer Show podcast, which you can subscribe to the audio version of. Yeah, it's going to be you and probably Andrew Reiner talking all about it. Positive, negative, lukewarmative.
We'll find out.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.